The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
John chapter 16 in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." Now the scriptures are clear that there are many spirits in the world today. We must not be sidetracked or easily baffled by people who talk about being spiritual. We must not think that someone that is spiritual or believes in the spiritualists or someone who talks about the spirit world is necessarily following the Spirit of God. There is a great difference. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out of this world." If there has ever been a time, according to Philippians chapter 1, when we need to have our thought process guided with all knowledge and wisdom, it is today. It is discernment that is needed in this hour, for there are many false spirits and there are many false teachers that have gone out in this world. Thus, we must have the Word of God as our lamp and the Holy Spirit of God as our guide in this day in which we live. Now, even the Lord Jesus Christ, as He was on this earth, was led of the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, "And he," Jesus, "being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now I submit to you tonight that if the perfect Holy Son of God was led by the Spirit, then we must be led by the Holy Spirit of God. This matter of walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh is not an option. It is a necessity if we will finish our course with joy in this day in which we live. And so tonight, when it comes to the matter of the Spirit of truth, we must say to the Holy Spirit of God, who is the third person of the Trinity, even as we believe in God the Father, even as we have received God the Son as our Savior, we must say to the Holy Spirit, "Lead me and guide me and convict me and show me the path that you would have me to go." I'll be honest with you tonight. The summertime is a time that brings great concern into the heart of a pastor. And the summertime is a time when, as a pastor, I pray a little more intensely for our church family. Because it seems as though during the summertime there are many busy spirits of the wrong kind that will pull someone away from the things of God. Now I want to just challenge you this summer. I can't be your personal guide this summer on the way to L.A. and wherever you might have a vacation or on the things you might do. And your Sunday school teacher probably will not be able to do that either. And if you're a teenager, your parents may not be able to do that either. But if you are saved, there is one who will accompany you every step of the journey this summer, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. And yet you've got to recognize His indwelling presence. You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And during the summer months, may God help us. I think of dear family right here I just met tonight from the state of Illinois. And they're out here visiting some relatives. And they found their place in the house of God on Sunday. And I think that's commendable. And you may have a day when you're way up in the mountains and unable. I understand some of those situations. But let me just tell you, my friend, the Christian life in many senses of the word is a habit. It's a routine. And I want to challenge you this summer. Stay in the good habits and routines of prayer and Bible reading and yielding to the Holy Spirit of God every day. We passed out to the men of this church and many of the ladies as well in the month of January. Just a little stewarding life journal, just a little guide, and perhaps you've set it aside for a week or two. Let me challenge you. Pick that thing back up and get in the Word of God and write down your praise and your prayer time and stay faithful this summer to the things of God. Oh, listen, the grass is not always greener on the other side. I had a missionary this past week, and he was talking to me about some of the burdens of the mission field, and they are real. And he said, "We had some problems in the church, and this one did this, and this one did that, and it's been discouraging for me and for my wife." And he said, "Brother Chappell, pray for us." He said, "I think we might come off the field and come back to America." I said, "Now, brother, I promise to pray for you, but I must be honest with you. Every single thing you've told me that's discouraged you, every single kind of trial that you've just uttered to me is something that I face and every pastor in America faces. And sometimes what we need is not a new location, but what we need is a new filling of the Holy Spirit of God." The fact of the matter is tonight, If I left this church to go find greener pasture every time there was a heavy season, I would have been gone a long time ago. But instead, what I've done is I've said, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I need a fresh anointing. I need fresh oil. I need the grace of God. I need the Holy Spirit of God to fill me and sustain me. And I'm just saying tonight, you need it as well in this summertime. And so every one of us need to be acquainted with and yielded to the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, as we come to the first century, and as we recognize now that we're studying the life of Jesus Christ, and we recognize that He's preparing His disciples. And in John 14, their hearts were so heavy because Jesus was going to leave them, and He had told them that He would be crucified. And He said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And He began to tell them about heaven. But on other occasions, to encourage His disciples, who were sometimes like little sheep, faint and weakly, and oftentimes discouraged by the other spirits of the world, He would tell them about heaven, and He would tell them about the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Holy Spirit of God came upon the saints in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God worked through the disciples as they ministered and preached. But something significant happened on the day of Pentecost. And it was on that day that the Spirit of God came and indwelt those who were the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that time, every person who received Jesus Christ as Savior was immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Why on the day of Pentecost did so many believers receive the Spirit of God in one day? Because the Comforter had not come until that day. And so you find some who believed on the Lord and later were baptized. And this is found in the book of Acts, a transitional book in the Bible. But the pattern of the epistles is this, that when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are born again instantly of the Holy Spirit, instantly indwelled by the Spirit of the living God. And that's why if you've truly been saved, suddenly there's an interest in the Bible. Suddenly there's conviction for sin. Suddenly there's a desire to get to the house of God. Why? Because God is living in your heart, and that ought to change your life. Amen. It ought to change your values in the way that you live. Now Jesus is telling them about this process. And He says in verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. You understand? The Spirit of the living God was not indwelling in the same sense every one of these believers. They were saved. They were believers. But the Spirit of truth has yet to come in the sense of indwelling that we now understand from the Scriptures. And so notice tonight the delivery of the Holy Spirit of God. The delivery of the Holy Spirit was promised to every believer. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Now turn please in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Let's hear some Bible pages tonight. Ready, begin, all right? Have a little sword drill, shall we? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Here we learn about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and His indwelling in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now, this verse teaches us that you are either without the Spirit or with the Spirit. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. There is no middle ground in this dispensation in which we live. There is no believing on Jesus as Savior and later getting the Holy Spirit of God. In this day in which we live, when someone receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, then the Spirit of Christ comes into their life, the Holy Spirit of God. And when you were saved, you were not born again by Baptist church, baptistry water. You were not born again by a piece of paper. You were born again by the Holy Spirit of God. The work of regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. When I said my vows, and Terry and I were married, at my wedding day, when I said those vows, I received at that moment, when I said those vows, I received the most wonderful bride a man could ever receive. God gave to me the gift of my wife, Terry. But when I prayed on April the 5th, 1972, for Jesus Christ to forgive my sin and to be my Savior, instantly when I prayed that prayer, the Spirit of the living God took up residence in my life. I did not understand the entire process doctrinally. I did not understand the entire idea of the fullness of the Spirit, the sanctification of the Spirit. I did not understand the complete work that He would do in me. But I can guarantee you, He began that good work in me at that very moment right there. And so it is when a man or a woman believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God takes up residence. And this is the promise to every believer. And may I say, secondly, it is a permanent promise to every believer. It is a permanent promise. Now, notice the Bible says in this verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Turn back, if you would, a few pages to John chapter 14 and verse number 16, please. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word in the Greek language is parakleton. It is the one that comes alongside of us. The Spirit of God is referred to here as the comforter. I believe it was Dr. John R. Rice who wrote the song, "The Comforter Has Come," speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Bible tells us the comforter. I will pray the comforter that he may abide. Notice this now, that he may abide with you. What are the next two words, please? That he may abide with you forever. So Jesus said the Comforter will come. And when he comes, and when he indwells your life, speaking to those disciples, he will abide with you forever. Now, my friend, please understand this tonight. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God did not take up temporary residence in your life, but he sealed you, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, until the day of your redemption. Oh, what a blessed promise tonight to know that on the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, even though I have not been perfect since that day, even though I have disappointed my Savior many times since that day, yet never one time did the Spirit of God leave me. Never one time did God denounce me and refuse me as his son. But on that glorious day when I was saved, the Spirit of a living God took up permanent residence into my life, and I'm sealed until the day of my redemption. Oh, I feel so sorry for those folks who say, well, I was saved and then I lost it, and I was saved and then I lost it. My friend, the Bible does not say you must be born again and again and again and again. The Bible says you must be born again. And if you've been born again, oh, listen, don't use that grace as a liberty to sin. Shall a man continue in sin that God, that the grace of God may abound? God forbid. Oh, salvation's not your license to live in sin. But please understand tonight, if you've been born again, the Spirit of the God, of the living God, will never leave you. He will never forsake you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, do you understand it tonight? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of the living God has taken up residence in you tonight. He's the comforter. He comes alongside and he takes you along the way. And he wants to guide you this summer. He wants to deliver you from temptation. He wants to deliver you from making a wrong decision. He wants to keep you from a wrong relationship. And he'll come and he'll speak into your heart with a still small voice. But you must hear him this summer. You must desire to hear from him. The delivery of the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, has come. And he's come permanently into the life of a believer. But notice secondly tonight, the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now this is what I want you to see tonight. Most everyone here tonight believes that the Spirit of God is in your life and that he's come to permanently guide and direct you until the day that Jesus calls us home or until the day that Jesus returns. But notice in verse 13 again, it says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Would you say that with me, please? He will. Now I'm speaking to some young people tonight going off to college and going off to the military. Not too long after you get there, there'll be someone that will start trying to teach you how to be more sensitive and tolerant. This month in the United States military is Gay Pride Month. And that's just now common cause. And generals are commanding that there must be instruction. And not just tolerating it. It's not just tolerance that they talk about anymore. Now it's promotion of it. Somebody tell me if the United States Air Force ever has a get married and love your wife Pride Month. Since when do we have a Pride Month for someone's choice in that area? And if we're going to start having Pride Months, why don't we just get proud of moms that don't abandon their kids? And why don't we just get proud of dads that love their families? And why don't we just get proud of people that don't steal? Why don't we just get proud of something good and moral and godly? But some of you going into the military are going to say, you've got to be proud of this. You've got to try some of this. And here's this immorality, and here's this curse language for you to say. And I'm just telling you tonight, I won't be there, Mom and Dad won't be there, but if you are saved, there will be a guide there. And the Spirit of God will not allow you to bow to the idols of Baal. And the Spirit of God will not allow you on the plains of Dura to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Thank God there were three Hebrew children who would not bow. And I'm saying tonight, with the help of the Spirit of God, we need a new generation that will not bow, but will stand for Jesus Christ. You can't stand on your own. But with the help of the Spirit, you can stand, having done all to stand. And so the Bible says in verse 13 that He will guide you into all truth. Now let me just quickly share with you how the Holy Spirit will guide you. How many of you want His guidance this year? Now come on, fellas, don't be like me. Most of us fellas don't need directions. And I love it. A lot of times my wife says, boy, you just have a sense of direction. You know right where you're going. I like to just say, that's right, honey. Don't you ever forget that either. But every once in a while, she'll say, where are we going? I'll say, I know where I'm going. She says this to me. Have you thought about using GPS? No, I've not thought about using GPS. I don't need some nerd in the Silicon Valley to tell me how to get there. I don't need some lady telling me how to get there. I'm fine. I know where to go. And you know what? When I get that attitude normally, it takes longer to get where I'm trying to go. Now, you have a guide tonight. Long before somebody dreamt about navigational systems, God gave you a guide. And He wants to direct you. And here's how He'll do it. Number one, He'll do it according to the Scriptures. He always uses His God-breathed book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. He gives us this book. The title of the Holy Spirit, notice the title in verse 13. In your Bible, it should be capital S, the Spirit of Truth. Truth is the foundation for everything that God does. And the Holy Spirit will never guide you away from truth. He will always guide you to the truth. Evangelist D.L. Moody said, the Bible without the Holy Spirit is a sundial by moonlight. The Bible's not going to make sense to you apart from the Holy Spirit of God. It was written by the Holy Spirit of God, and He will illuminate it as you read it, and He will give the understanding of it, and He will guide you by the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you see. God says, if you want to be guided by My Spirit, then stay in My Word. Now, sometimes you'll read through a certain book, and you might read through Leviticus, and you might say, you know, I'm trying to get a hold of something here. And I want to tell you something. Keep reading. But let me tell you something else. You know what I like to do in my daily Bible reading? I read normally this past week. I was finishing up in 2 Samuel, and then it goes from there to the Psalms, and then it went from there to 1 Peter. It's just a little program. It's just an Old Testament and a Psalm and a New Testament. I'm going to tell you something. Every day, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart. And every day, He tells me something good, too. And every day, when I write down what the Lord taught me, it's just a wonderful thing to be reassured by the Lord Jesus Christ and guided by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Someone says, I need to know the will of God. You'll not find it without the Word of God. It's the guide. Notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit not only will guide us according to the Scriptures, the Bible says in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. You see, He's going to be the teacher. He's going to be the guide. He's going to help us according to the Scriptures. And so the direction of the Holy Spirit, it comes to our life from the Word of God. It's the roadmap. Secondly, the direction of the Holy Spirit will always be in compliance with the Lord Jesus Christ. always in compliance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 13 again. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will always lead you, watch this, to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something against the Bible. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something against the Lord Jesus Christ. One school teacher was correcting some papers, and she looked at a little boy's work, and she was appalled with the results. And the teacher said to the little boy, she said, "I just fail to understand how one person could make so many mistakes." And the little student looked up and said, "But it wasn't just one person. My dad helped." Now, sometimes human guides can lead us in the wrong way, but God will never mislead you. God's Holy Spirit, God's Word, will never mislead you. He will lead you to be obedient to the Word of God. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." The anointing, 1 John 2:27, is the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God anoints the believer, and He guides the believer. And I'm simply saying the direction of the Spirit comes from the Word of God, and the direction of the Spirit comes with compliance to the Savior, leading us along the way of the Savior. And the Bible teaches us to pray for that leadership. Jude and verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Oh, friends, tonight, when we pray, may God deliver us from just saying some empty words and just going through vain repetition. But may God touch our prayer life, and may we pray in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and may we get a hold of the throne of grace, and may we not be satisfied with dry toast prayer life, but may we pray in the Holy Spirit of God, you see. God says, "I want my Spirit to indwell your life and guide you and open up the Scriptures and help you to pray." It's not going to happen unless we're following the guide, the Holy Spirit of God. Luke 18 and verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, men ought always to pray and not to faint." The direction of the Holy Spirit comes from the Word of God. The direction of the Holy Spirit comes through prayer, and it comes as we obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, I hesitated to tell this story, Evelyn, but I'm just going to share this with you. You forgive me if I'm not supposed to tell it. Tell me after church I wasn't supposed to. I think about 20-some years ago, Brother Leo and Evelyn Walter, they came to our church, and Leo got saved, and one of the great soul-winning stories of our ministry. And Brother Leo came up to me. We were building, getting ready to build that building over there. And man, was I stressed out. And I shouldn't have been. And this week we had some things come into my attention about Wednesday afternoon from our bidding process, and some prices weren't what I thought they were going to be and was told they were going to be. And it took me a day or so just to give it back to the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're sovereign. We'll keep trusting you and so forth. And I go through those seasons. And when we first started building programs, I had a lot of hair, by the way. And sometimes people make fun of my baldness like they did the prophets of the Old Testament too. And I just tell them, I had hair before the building program started. I'm just telling you, I have brothers, they're not bald, my dad's not bald, my granddad wasn't bald. I'm the only one that's built all these building programs, and I'm sure that's why I'm bald, I'm sure of it. Man, I'll tell you what, if there was ever one that just surprise, surprise, around every corner, it was that North building. Brother Hartzell, you're bald too. That you probably had hair before we started too. I don't know. I'm telling you what, it was just, whoops, we forgot this, and there goes the plans, and there goes the contractor, and that was a learning experience. We were in the middle of that, and I don't know if my eyes were twitching or my hands were shaking or what Brother Leo saw, but he came up to me, and Leo was a newer Christian, and he put his hand on me, and Brother Leo always had a tender heart. And he just started to cry. And he said, "Now, Pastor, I know stress when I see it. You're under a lot of stress with this building program." And he said, you need to take time off. I think once a month he'd tell me that at the back door. Take some time off. Get some rest. He said, "I know stress. I see stress in you." And he said, "Here's what I want you to do. He said, "We have a place we'd like to go up in Wyoming." He said, "I want you to take your family up there. Stay for a few days." He said, "We'll pay for it. You can stay in a cabin and ride a horse and shoot a gun." and just get out in the mountains. It'll be good for you. And I said, no, Leo, I can't do that. And very rarely have I ever done that. Someone tries to be a blessing. You're always afraid. Are they going to come back on you later? And, well, I did this. You must do this. And you just are tender to that type of thing. And I said, I appreciate it, but I don't need that. I'll be fine. And he came back, I don't know, several times. He said, now, Pastor, I've talked to your secretary. I know when you're taking vacation. So you've already worked on this thing. I've already called and reserved you the cabin. And I said, Leo, I appreciate it, but I just, we're not going to be able to do that. I really appreciate it. I've never done that type of a thing before, and I just don't feel like I should. And I that's not why I'm your pastor. It's just my joy to be your pastor. And I kept telling him all that stuff like that. Well, I think it was another week or so came by, and he said, now, we've got the date cleared. We've got the cabin all set. And he said, I gave one of your kids some gas money. Now he's working my kids into the thing. And he's kind of making sure that we went. And I'll tell you what, we got in the car and we drove up there through Idaho and Montana or whatever the states, Wyoming, wherever we went. And we saw bears and caribou, and we saw eagles, and we saw weird people and everything you see at a national park, you know. And then we got up to that cabin, and they had a whole thing you did. One day you did horseback riding, and one day you went out shooting. I remember our boys, they went out with 22s, and they went out shooting. And I mean, every tick in Wyoming got on their bodies. It was an amazing thing. Just ticks everywhere. My wife said, what are those bugs? I said, well, they can kill you. We might want to take them off and get those ticks off there. On the third day, the activity was rafting. And I think Matthew might have been 2 or so. We have a picture of him in one of those raincoats, and he just looks like a little Martian there, you know, just a little guy. We went on the raft and went down the Shoshone River. Man, we got on that boat, and I was like, yeah, I can do this. Been there, done that. We did this when I was a kid, you know. Then I saw the river. It was moving. It was moving fast. Man, little Matthew, I was holding on to him the whole time, trying to hold on for myself with one hand, and that thing was starting to go up and down. And pretty soon, we're on the Shoshone River. Pretty soon, there was a big outcropping of rock, I mean, just right in the middle there. And I began to worry. I think, my soul, he sent me up here to relax. He's going to kill me. There's a rock right there. We're about to crash into it. Suddenly, we just turn this way and go right around. Then we'd be heading right for a big old tree coming out. And I think, here we go. We're going to hit the tree. Duck, Matthew. And suddenly, we'd turn this way. And after a little while, I turned around. And I saw our guide was in the back. And I noticed that about every time we were going to have catastrophe, this man who'd been down that stretch of river thousands of times would turn the oar just in the right time. And he'd lead us away from temptation. And he'd lead us away from danger. And he had a very sensitive hand and a very keen understanding of how to avoid the dangers of the Shoshone River. And I want you to understand, as the summertime comes, I could get up here and preach a list of things to you, and I could try to tell you who to be friends with and what to wear and what to do and what not to do. And I could give you a long list, and I don't have a problem with that, but I'm just going to give you this one thought tonight. There is a guide, and his name is the Holy Spirit, and if you let him steer your little raft, he'll keep you out of danger this summer. If you'll just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, the delivery of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter has come. And then there's the direction of the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth. But then notice finally tonight, the delight of the Spirit. Now notice the delight of the Holy Spirit tonight. Verse 14, John 16, 14. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, even as Christ is glorifying the Father by his obedience unto death, so the Spirit of Christ would glorify, and the Spirit of God would glorify Christ by making clear the significance of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the key word here is the word show. And the Bible is clear that he will show you the things to come. The word show means to announce. The delight of the Holy Spirit is to exalt the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why when we live a life that's pleasing to Christ, then Christ is exalted. And when we go out soul winning, and when we lift up the name of Christ, then that is the work of the Holy Spirit causing us to exalt Jesus. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, shall testify of me. Now, I want to tell you something. One of the characteristics of a truly spirit-filled person is not how many times they've had one leg lengthened from another leg. And it's not how many experiences they've had. One of the true characteristics of a spirit-filled person is how much they talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. And the greatest miracle that is ever performed is the saving of a soul from hell. And one of the great characteristics of a spirit-filled Christian is that they talk about Jesus. They exalt Jesus because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to lift me up. It's not to lift the choir up. It's not to lift up the soloist. It's to lift up Jesus. That's what he does, you see. And so the Bible says, verse 14, he shall glorify me. Would you say that with me, please? He shall glorify me. One more time. He And so, the delight of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. To make Him look good, magnificent, and wonderful. And that's why we sing. And that's why we do, as the lady at lunch today said, it seems like you do things to excellence at Lancaster Baptist Church. Why? So that we can say we're looking good? No. Because Jesus is worthy of our best. Amen. And because we want Him to be glorified. And so we praise the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18, I taught this to the new members this morning. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning from the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You see, when someone has the Spirit of God in their life, they're going to lift up Jesus Christ, the Lord. They're going to talk of his deity. They're going to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they're going to praise the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of Jesus Christ in saving souls. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:12, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered up once for sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God forever. You see, a spirit-filled Christian, his theme song is, let's talk about Jesus, the King of kings is he, the Lord of lords supreme through all eternity. He just wants to talk about Jesus and how he saved and how his blood atones for sin. The famous pastor R.G. Lee, who pastored in Nashville for many years, he preached a famous sermon entitled Payday Someday. Thousands of people were saved through that message. I have a Bible on my shelf signed by R.G. Lee after he preached it, and it says, I preached, and I think it's the 1112th time, Payday Someday, from this Bible. And he preached from that Bible. It was given to me as a gift. R.G. Lee, a great Baptist preacher. He was over in the Holy Land at the site of Calvary. And he asked the Arab guide, would you take me up to the top of Golgotha? He said, I'd like to go up to the top. And the Arab guide discouraged him. And finally, they reached the top. And the guide asked Dr. Lee, he said, have you ever been here before, Dr. Lee? And Dr. Lee said, yes, 2,000 years ago I was here. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for my sin. And 2,000 years ago, I was set free. Oh, listen, that's the story the Spirit-filled Christian tells. That Jesus Christ saves lost sinners. That he has provided for us. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You say, how do you know there is a heaven? I know there is a heaven because of the authority of the Word of God. But I know there is a heaven because of the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. He bears witness in my heart. He agrees and helps me to understand the truth of the Word of God. The delivery of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter has come. The direction of the Holy Spirit. He has come to guide us. The delight of the Holy Spirit is when we, through His power, exalt Jesus Christ, when we lift him up. And here's the question. Will you let the Holy Spirit be your guide this summer? Will you say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, lead me, guide me, help me not to make a wrong decision, but be my guide this summer? Let's pray together.